I'm Seth Stinwell.
And I'm Sean Braswell.
And welcome back to Wilson Arts and Beyond, a podcast by Wilson Arts in Wilson, North Carolina. This is episode 3, and today we're going to be talking about Casa Azul, a local nonprofit, and their Dia de los Muertos event, and Wilson's own North Carolina Whirligig Festival. Well, as we said, we're going to get started today talking to the executive director and co-founder of Casa Azul, who we have with us. Welcome to the show. If you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the organization and its mission, that would be awesome.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Flor Herrera Picasso, executive director of Casa Azul. We started this, my sister and I, we're born and raised in Wilson. And we went through the education system here in Wilson. We're the first in our family to go to college. It was a super difficult process, being from a bilingual household, and our parents didn't know how to navigate that whole process. And we noticed that it was the same for our children now. And so my sister Elizabeth was a college advisor with the Carolina Advising Corps. In Chatham County. She was a college advisor for 2 years. And in Chatham County, one of her high schools was predominantly Latinx. So she had a huge impact because her students for the first time had someone that looked like them, that spoke the same language as their parents, that understood their culture and had very similar lived experiences. So I saw the power of representation just in her stories that she would tell me. And I thought to myself, like, how do we bring this to Wilson? How do we bring this to our hometown? Mind you, it was the pandemic. So we were at home. I actually was living in New York City, but I moved back to Wilson in 2020 because of the pandemic. And then I decided that I needed to stay and I needed to do something for my community.
Excellent. How did you guys get started with Casa Azul, and where did the idea come from?
Yeah, so Casa Azul de Wilson was inspired by Casa Azul de Frida Kahlo. Frida Kahlo is a Mexican artist, iconic of Mexican culture. And, well, her house is literally a blue house, and it's now a museum where artists, creatives, intellectuals from all over the world go to Mexico City just to see Casa Azul. And we wanted our Casa Azul, our little Casa Azul here in Wilson, to be the same, kind of like that central beacon of home for our community. We don't have a Casa Azul yet. Everyone always asks us, well, where is Casa Azul? And we don't have that yet. But in the future, we hope to have our very own center, a resource center and a cultural center specifically for the Latinx community of Wilson.
Awesome. So you guys are hosting a Dia de los Muertos event with Wilson Arts, which in English is Day of the Dead. So can you just explain to our listeners what Dia de los Muertos is, like the celebration and the history behind that?
Yeah, so Dia de los Muertos is celebrated in Mexico every November 2nd. Actually, November 1st is Dia de los, I guess, infants, deceased infants. So it commemorates babies on November 1st. November 2nd is adult or, you know, older deceased. So Dia de los Muertos. And in Mexican tradition, you make an altar for your deceased loved ones. You put out offerings for them so that they visit this world on that day and they are remembered. So their spirit is, and I'm kind of using the movie Coco as a reference. And it is astonishing for me to admit this, but I learned about Dia de los Muertos through that movie. So I recently, as a 30-year-old, learned about my own culture and my own heritage through a Disney movie, because I was born and raised here in Wilson, and I was never taught that really about my own culture. So we, as bicultural Latin American citizens, are learning our parents' heritage that we were never given an opportunity to learn before. And so Dia de los Muertos, yeah, it's a celebration of the dead. People would put on face painting of skulls and flower crowns and embroidered clothing, and it's just a celebration of the vibrant and colorful Mexican culture.
Is there anything specific you really like that you all those things you just listed? The part, what's your favorite? I'm just curious.
I think my favorite thing is the flower crowns and the flowers. So in Dia de los Muertos, you use marigolds, and they're called cempasúchil in Spanish. And like I said, I'm just barely learning this myself, but I think there's something really beautiful about the flower and the significance it has for Dia de los Muertos.
That's awesome.
So I'm on staff here at Wilson Arts, but I don't know much about what's being planned for this event yet. I work over at theater mostly, so I'm very curious. One thing that's happened since I've been here is I've been exposed to many different cultures. Wilson definitely has a broad community here. So what kind of events do you have planned for October 30th, and what kind of things do families look forward to doing when they get here and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of activities. A few of those are for children. So coloring pages, one of the worksheets is like creating a mini altar, a 3D like construction altar, or coloring sugar skulls or creating flower crowns. So those types of things for children. We'll be handing out candy for the children as well. Hopefully they'll come in costume. So that'll be exciting. We also have musical presentations. Mariachi de mi tierra will be here. And so they're going to be playing live mariachi music for an hour. And Corazón Folclórico will be coming from Greensboro. They're a youth group from UNCG. And from my understanding, 18 girls are going to come and dance baile folclórico, which is traditional Mexican dance with huge skirts. And the skirts are just as part of the performance as the music and the dance steps. So that'll be super exciting. We also are going to have free tacos, Taste of Texas, the taco truck here in Wilson. They're our community partners that are going to be here that day. And, yeah, just a lot of, fun, colorful energy that day.
Yeah. I go to Taste of Texas probably once a week because I usually have their truck set up beside Casita. Mm-hmm. So, they're very good tacos. So, and the first
250 tacos are going to be free. So it's super important for first come, first serve.
So what do you hope that the event that night brings to the community?
I think it'll bring visibility to a community that's largely been invisible. The Latinx community of Wilson is close to 10,000 people and 10% of Wilson, but there's no space where that's specifically for us, or that where we're celebrated, where we're acknowledged as just as equal part to Wilson as the rest. And I think that it's time for us to make a space and integrate the Latinx community with the rest of Wilson, and also celebrate the diversity of it, because it'll be just as much as a learning experience for the rest of Wilson to learn from our culture and to celebrate, you know, what we bring to Wilson. So I think it'll be a learning experience and also a celebration for those that don't get that opportunity so often.
So it's on October 30th. Can you remind everybody of the time and location and stuff like that for where they can meet up or come to the event?
Yeah, October 30th from 5 to 8 p.m. here at the Wilson Arts Center. I'm super excited, and I'm glad that Kathy agreed to do this with us. And I think that it'll be the first of many cultural events for Casa Azul de Wilson, but yeah, definitely come out.
Yeah, we're super excited here at Wilson Arts. So, yeah, definitely bring your family. My family's coming. We already have our matching outfits for myself and my wife and my two kids. So it's gonna be a fun evening.
So where can people connect with you guys if they want to get involved with the organization or volunteer? How can they go about that?
Yeah. So right now we do not have a website. We're, like I said, just a two-woman show right now. So we're working towards that, but we have a Facebook page and we have an Instagram page, and it's just Casa Azul de Wilson. And that translates to Casa Azul means blue house, and de Wilson means of Wilson. So Casa Azul of Wilson.
Awesome. Well, we're going to put all that information in the show notes as well, so you guys can connect with them. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you for having me.
So for the second half of the podcast today, we're going to talk about Wilson's very own Whirligig Festival, which takes place this year, November 6th and 7th in downtown Wilson. We have with us Teresa Mathis, who is the Whirligig Festival director, to talk about this year's festival, and Wilson Arts' very own Stephanie Pridgen, who is their marketing and events coordinator, to talk a little bit about how the Arts Center is contributing to this year's festival. So welcome to the show, you guys.
Glad to be here. This is exciting.
Thank you.
So first, Teresa, can you tell us exactly what the Whirligig Festival entails? What is it all about?
Well, the North Carolina Whirligig Festival is a downtown street festival, and it encompasses about 8 blocks of the downtown area. For those that are local, it goes from Nash Street all the way down to the Whirligig Park. And on the streets, we have about 150 vendors that will have merchandise set up for sale. That includes food vendors, arts and crafts, nonprofits. Scattered among the streets, we have 4 different stages with live entertainment all day long. And right in the middle is a kids zone that is free and open to all children. Our festival is free and open, free admission, free parking, and we want everybody to come give it a whirl.
Awesome. So how did this festival come about? What was the history? When did it get started? Where did the idea come from?
The very first Whirligig Festival was held in 2004. That was 7 years before the Whirligig Park was even an idea. And what had happened is several groups had tried to host a festival in town, some in the fall, some in the spring, and they were kind of one and dones. I think folks realized how much work they were. And they had one and then said, well, that's enough for me. So that had happened repeatedly several times. And finally, a core group got together and said, what is unique about Wilson? And brought together the right people that could sustain it. And when they talked about what was unique, of course, it was the Whirligigs.
Awesome. So the first festival, what you said, was
2004. So this year is our 17th annual Whirligig Festival.
Awesome. So are there any plans? Like, what are you excited about for this year's festival? What are some specific plans that you guys
have? Oh, we have lots of plans. It has been an exciting year because typically we take about 9 months to put the festival together. But we only found out at the end of July that the state would allow it. So we quickly put together a festival in about 4 months.
It's pretty impressive.
It is. And the great thing about it is this is all put on by volunteers. This is not run by any particular office or staff members. It's a complete volunteer board. We have a lot of fun and we make a lot of different plans. I think some of the new things that are going to be happening this year is, first off, it's happening. Last year, we were not able to have a festival because of the pandemic. This year, the protocols have been loosened and we can have an outdoor event. So we have new vendors, we have new bands, we have new shows, we have new kids activities. Everything coming is new. So, the bands that are on the stage are all brand new. The vendors are a good mix of those favorites that are returning. So funnel cake hunters, yes, we do have funnel cakes. And I think the new things that are coming that people might be interested in is we have the Chain Reaction BMX Stunt Show. This is a group of ramp riders, bike flippers. It's all bicycles going in directions that are unnatural. Nobody should be able to do this. And they're going to have several shows a day. And rumor is an Olympian is coming on Sunday afternoon. You didn't hear that here?
I didn't hear anything. Did you hear anything, Stephanie?
No. I heard nothing.
Nothing. But a gold medalist may be here with us. Then on throughout the festival, we also have what I call extreme challenges. This ain't your kids' bounce houses. These are grown-up challenges like surfing. Who's ever surfed in Wilson before? So we have, think about a mechanical bull, but a surfboard instead. We also have a climbing wall coming back. And for the testosterone lovers, we have some axe throwing that will happen. So those are kind of adult extreme challenges that we love. And to help people get around, because we know there's a lot of construction downtown, we are adding a trolley service that will drive the perimeter of the festival. And it'll have several stops at major intersections where people can hop on or off. Because we know when you come into the festival, you're ready to purchase. And when you go back, your hands are full of a corn dog, funnel cake, and some art that you may have bought. So jump on the trolley to get back to your car. It's only $1 per person. And of course, if you're a Wilson person, you know it's a football game. Barton College will have their last home game on that Saturday at 4 o'clock. So make your plans to come to the festival beforehand and then head out to the game at 4 o'clock.
So what time does the festival run? I know it's the 2 days, but what do we start in the morning? Or
on Saturday, November 6th, it's a full day. So we start at 10 a.m. and we go till 5 o'clock. Then on Sunday, everybody needs to sleep in because the clocks fall back. So we get an hour of extra sleep. So take that nap. Go to church and then come in. We are 12 to 5. So we say, come hungry, start with lunch.
Awesome. So Stephanie, the Wilson Arts is involved in the World Gay Festival. How are they engaging with it this year?
So we have several things. From the performing arts side, we help sponsor the Whirly Kids stage. And so that is over on Barnes Street. We will have Nick's Kids show again, which we've had several times in the past. So that's an interactive show. The kids get to come up on stage and they get to be the performers. I believe we've got a new, the interactive theater, of Jeff.
Correct.
Can you elaborate a little bit about what that is?
Well, the interactive theater of Jeff, he is a juggler, balloon artist, hoop thrower. So he'll bring in, again, sort of similar to Nick as being an interactive kids show. Jeff brings kids into the excitement, but it's one-on-one. So they get to try juggling. They get to try tossing the hoops in the air. They try to balance whatever it is on their head. So Jeff involves all the children the whole time.
It's really awesome.
And then on Sunday, there will also be the Whirly Fairy Strolling Artist, along with...
One of my favorites.
Yeah. So that's the Whirly Kids stage. And then we're also helping to oversee the community stage this year, which is over in Bankers Plaza next to the old Arts Council building. So we've got several of... The local dance groups are going to be there. We've got some local teenagers who sing and play that are going to be there, Miss Wilson organization. And we've even got a science kids show that's going to be on that stage this year. So there's a lot going on the performing arts side. And then for the visual arts, we have several competitions there as well. We are bringing back the sidewalk chalk art. So this will be our third annual chalk art competition. It's always been kind of a favorite, and there will be prizes in three categories: kids, adults, and professional artists. So pre-registration is required for that. You can sign up on the Whirly Gig Festival website. The entry is free. We provide all the materials. So there's some more details on the website for that. We're also doing a kids coloring competition. So there's going to be a coloring station located here at the new Wilson Arts Center. And if you haven't been in the Wilson Arts Center, that will be a great weekend to pop in and check it out as well.
Absolutely. Come check it out.
But the coloring competition will begin at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. We're going to have pages of different Wilson landmarks that were created by local artists here. The contest is going to be judged by local artist and Springfield Middle School art teacher Abby Boykin. So there will be prizes for two categories, ages 5 to 11 and 12 to 17. And the winners are going to be announced on Saturday afternoon at the Whirly Gig Park. Then we also have a Whirligig Park paint off. So this one's going to be murals. And we are inviting some street artists from North Carolina to participate in a live outdoor paint-off competition. So that's going to be going on. You can watch the artists give it a whirl as they create their street mural masterpieces during the festival. And then they're going to be prizes awarded for that as well. And then finally will be the North Carolina Whirligig Festival Give It a Whirl Art Competition. And this is open to artists and photographers 18 and up. Wilson Arts is inviting artists in any medium to submit works for their interpretation of the Give It a Whirl theme. So we're going to accept any medium. Sign up is, again, through the Whirligig Festival website. And we're going to have an independent judge choose the winners of those. And that's going to have some cash prizes to go along with it. So there's a lot happening in the arts side from Wilson Arts.
Awesome. I mean, clearly it's a weekend packed full of stuff. So I'm kind of curious, or is there anything that either of you are particularly looking forward to or really excited about for this year?
I think what I look forward to the most is I buy my first Christmas present at the Whirligig Festival. I always eat my way corner to corner. So I buy one thing from a food vendor, eat it as I walk down that block. Then I buy something at the next block. And I do that all weekend long. So it's a lovely weekend and my dietary person loves me. But my favorite part is picking that first Christmas present. I think the festival allows people to buy something unique, something handcrafted. We take a lot of pride in the art vendors that we include in the festival. And that's what I always look forward to, is buying that first Christmas present.
Awesome.
I think one of my favorite things is funnel cakes, first of all, because I only get them like once a year when the Whirligig Festival comes around, and I missed it. I missed my funnel cake last year. But other than that, like being from the area, I just love seeing the different groups come out and perform. I usually, when I'm running around, I'll see people I haven't seen in a while. Maybe I haven't seen them since last year, or maybe even longer, and I just happen to run into them. It is a crazy, crazy weekend for behind the scenes, but it is so much fun. And the team that puts it on is an amazing team. And in the middle of the crazy, we have fun too. And I actually kind of look forward to that crazy fun. So that's part of what I look forward to as well.
I think the one thing I would encourage listeners to do is make sure to walk the full loop. There are some folks that go one block or just one corner, and you're going to miss it. Right. So make sure it's kind of in a circle. So that's why we say walk the loop. Mm-hmm. But make sure you do and you see all four corners, because there's something new and interesting and innovative around every corner. So just make sure you hit them all.
Awesome. Well, that actually was going to be my next question, was what is something that everybody really needs to know? So that's awesome. Where can they our listeners get more information about the festival, times and locations of different can't think of the word things like that. Where can they get that?
The easiest place to go is our website, which is whirligigfestivalnc.org. And you're going, Whirligig? Well, that's all I's, no Y's. So whirligigfestivalnc.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our marketing person does a great job of posting things there. You can join events. And if you join the Facebook event, then you get a reminder. So that's also a great way to make sure you don't miss something you're really looking forward to. So those are the three ways, I would say, the best way to find out ahead of time.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited for this year. It's clearly you guys are, and I think it's going to be good. So thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Stephanie, thank
you.
I'm sure there'll be many more in our future. And we will link to all those websites and post those social media things in our show notes as well. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And make sure to give it a whirl.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's episode. We want to thank our guests, Flor Herrera Picasso, Stephanie Pridgen, and Teresa Mathis. We also want to thank Marshall Max Lamont Hamilton for providing our music. Please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other of your favorite podcast apps. Also, be sure to check out our website, wilsonarts.com, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at WilsonArtsNC for the latest information about our events. Thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time.